eyes or just another pair of socks this time, give them a chance to shave like me with Harry's Razors. Listeners of the show can get $5 off any Harry's Shave set by using code INSIDESTL at harrys.com. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. It's a great deal for you and for him. Holiday sets start at just $20. That's within Secret Santa limits, and Harry's blade refills are as low as $2 each, so your guy will save money over time. And it comes ready to gift in handsome holiday gift boxes. As a special offer for fans of the show, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets, when you enter inside STL at harrys.com. Plus, you'll get free shipping. Each Harry's shaving set comes with a weighted handle with option to engrave, 5-blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades, packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. Just use code INSIDESTL at harrys.com. That's inside STL.
Christmas can be difficult for many families. Help local toy drives and donate to the many children who may not have gifts this holiday season. Lisa Atkins, Remax Platinum, serves the St. Louis area with pride. We are a Homes for Heroes agent, providing discounts and funding programs for veterans in our community. If you're buying or selling real estate, look to a name you could trust. Call 314-324-6219 or visit online at lisaatkins.com. Like Lisa on Facebook. That's Lisa Atkins, Remax Platinum, encouraging everyone to donate toys this holiday season.
Grizz Nation, save big on tickets to see the next-gen Grizzlies with the exclusive Grizz Pass. Pay a flat fee of just $69 and guarantee access for up to 7 games per month. You get new games every month, but the price stays the same. Visit GrizzPass.com today for more info.
Tom Jones, She's a Lady. Love this song.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Don't know why.
Is it because he's from Great Britain? He's Welsh.
He is. He is Welsh. Yeah. I think that might be. I know McGran was a big fan.
He's Welsh. I think Engelbert is Welsh as well, and Richard Burton was Welsh.
I saw him at the Fox Theater.
Richard Burton?
Tom Jones back in the '80s. Women were throwing underwear up at him and. On stage.
Did you throw your underwear up there, too?
Yeah, I did.
Yellow stains on it?
Yes.
Remember when Tom Jones did a cover of the Prince song, Kiss?
Yeah.
When Prince had that real high-pitched voice, Tom Jones did a reprint of it, or a remake of it, or whatever. It was ridiculous. Reprint.
You know, that thing about, and it's been going around forever, about how he stuck a rolled-up sock in his pants. That's true.
I know.
You remember how we found that is true? There was a guy that used to work at the other station we worked for who was a concert saxophone player.
Mm-hmm.
And he toured with Tom Jones. He toured with Diana Ross. He toured with Elton John. It's unbelievable. And for this guy to want to have a radio show and make a fourth of what he was making as a concert saxophone player was always interesting to me. And I asked him, I said, why would you give that up? I just always wanted to be on the radio, have a radio show. Well, I think it didn't take long before he realized, maybe that wasn't a good idea. But I remember, and we'll get to Dr. Doug, who is here with us and being very patient, and we'll get to him after I send you to the ophthalmologist, not just any ophthalmologist, Dr. Jason Brenton, but back to the story. I asked him one day, I said, how do you get a gig? And I never heard him play, but I understand he was obviously a terrific sax player. I said, how do you get those gigs? Elton John, Diana Ross. And like anything else, there's a network of musicians, and they keep in touch with each other, and there are trade magazines, and there are open auditions and calls. And he said, in the case of Tom Jones, he said, word got out that they need a sax player for his tour, his upcoming tour. He said, so a friend called his attention to it. He went to whoever it is you go before who works for Tom Jones to audition, and they gave him a CD, and it was Tom Jones' greatest hits. He said, take this, go and listen to it, and then they made an appointment for him to come back, and they just wanted to hear him play the sax part of those hits. And if you could duplicate the recording of the great hit, boom, you're in. And he said, I played it perfectly, hired. So now he tours, and they did like 60 dates, something like that. And I remember asking, because nobody ever asks this question, but it's interesting to me, but it's almost like, ooh, it's bad manners to ask. I said, how much money did you make? Because I've always wondered about that. So I'm going to go around the room, and he told me, now granted, this was when he did it, let's say 15 years ago, and I said, how much are you paid to go on stage, play saxophone, and you kind of do the same thing every night? Limey, how much do you think he got paid?
For how many shows? 60, we'll say?
Well, he got a yearly salary, so the number of shows didn't really matter. Oh. It's per year.
Just to play the saxophone, I'd say $30,000 back in the day.
Ooh, boy, that's cheap.
I'm sorry, what?
$75,000.
What artist in what year, Frank?
This would have been about 15 years ago, Tom Jones on tour.
15 years ago, Tom Jones, I'll go $65,000.
Wow, he did better than I thought. He said they paid him
$165,000.
Whoa! And get this. He said you got to remember too. No, he said you got to remember too. Not only is that good money, it's even better money because they're put up at the nicest hotels. Mm-hmm. Their food is covered. Their expenses are covered. So you don't have, unless you have a wife back home, which he didn't, you really don't have any expenses. So you're banking your money. And you're living off the road, the tour, the hotels, the whatever. And I thought, and you left that to do an afternoon talk show?
Idiot!
I don't think he did by choice. My guess is he was let go and was between gigs or whatever, because I don't think anybody in their right mind would leave that to go do this. But
he toured with Prince also. Prince and...
Oh, he had some big names. Yeah. Elton John, Diana Ross, Prince, Tom Jones. I don't even remember some of the others, but it wasn't something he just did for 6 months and tried it. No, he did it for quite a while. And I never forgot that he shared that with me. And that's something that I know it's not polite to talk about, but there are certain jobs. For example, backup singers, you know, the people in the back going I always wondered, what do they make? Because they really do make the artists. Oh, here's a good one. Dr. Doug, how are you doing, by the way?
I'm hanging.
You don't mind hearing this story, do you?
I think he probably got about $165,000.
Don't act like you didn't hear that.
I'm just guessing.
So, now see, I completely forgot. It was about something where I found out what somebody made. And it's
backup singer?
It completely left me. I just lost it because I decided to be polite and thank Dr. Doug for being so patient. But it was another example. Hang on, give me a minute.
You were talking about how much do you think backup singers make?
I know.
Where were you going? So where are you going? That's all you said.
It led me, though, in my mind, I had somebody else where I found out what they were making, and it was, it'll come to me.
Was it later. Johnny Londoff and Officer Jim?
No. It wasn't Johnny Londoff and Officer Jim. Boy, this is really aggravating, because
an ASE mechanic?
Certified mechanic?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know what.
Was it a pie thief?
No, I don't know what they make. I don't know anything about pie. This is very awkward, embarrassing, and
bartender.
No,
brain tumor surgeons.
Hang on.
Guitar
here.
Player.
Oh, I just came to me. I got an email several years ago at the other place from a guy, and he said my dad is a stand-up comedian, and he didn't start it till he was 60. And he said he opens primarily for country acts. Larry Gatlin, the Gatlin Brothers, Bob Garth, whatever, those kind of acts. And he said it started just, he happened to be the right time at the right place. He was somewhere and was introduced to Barbara Mandrell. Barbara Mandrell, for those who don't know, at one time was a tremendously successful country artist. She plays, I think, at least 8 different instruments. She sings. She had a lot of hits. And they were somewhere, and she heard him tell a joke. And she said, you know, you're funny enough. You could open for me. And he didn't think she was serious. So next thing you know, he's opening for her in concert. And that led to Larry Gatlin, the Gatlin Brothers, and some other artists. And he said he absolutely loved it. So I listened to the CD, and the guy was just hysterical. He's just a 60-year-old, regular-looking guy, kind of like Rodney Dangerfield. It's like a guy off the street. But boy, could he tell a story and a joke. So...
And Rodney started late, too.
Rodney did start. Rodney was sold paint.
Yeah.
He was a paint salesman. So Next thing I know, the receptionist at the station, she said, there's a guy up front who wants to meet you. He said his son sent you a CD. I go out, and here, it's this guy, and his name escapes me. And I said, well, I listened
to
your CD.
That's his name? Escapes me? That's weird.
See, that'd be funny if I said his name is escapes me, but I said his name escapes me, so it doesn't even make sense. Hmm. See, that's why it's not really funny.
His name escapes me?
I'm confused. Was his name escape me?
Last name
take,
me?
We're going to take a quick break.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We will return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned.
I'm sorry, what did you guys say something? Or?
No, I didn't say anything.
I'm sorry, nothing. I thought that's what I said.
I knew a guy once where his name was Escapes Me. It was weird. I just knew
Tim,
the guy.
Tim, how could you even laugh?
Why at
him,
at him
trying to bring... That joke is done. It's done. And then he brings it back, and you still laugh at it.
You're the only one not laughing. Everyone else is laughing.
I was laughing on the inside. I'm a silent laugher sometimes.
It's a radio mutiny.
Sometimes I'm a silent laugher. I'm screaming on the inside. So I asked the guy, I said, if you don't mind my asking, what do you get paid? Now, keep in mind, he's opening for acts that are... performing before 10, 15, 20,000 people. These are big acts. And he goes out, and you've all seen it if you've been to a concert. Let's go around the room again. What do you think he got paid for coming out and being the warm-up act for big country stars? How long
was he out there? Like a half an hour?
Right. Oh, no. Tops. Probably, 20 minutes to half an hour.
Wow.
I'd say about $8,500 a show.
I was going to say $5,000 a show.
I'll say $8,501 per show.
What is this? The Price is Right?
Yeah, what do you think?
I'll say
$15,000. $300.
$300? Wow.
And it seems to me his name was Ron. I said, Ron, are you kidding? He goes, no. $300. He said, but, they have food backstage, and you get to go in the green. I said, wait, hold on a second. You're really funny. You're good. Or these other people wouldn't go, hey, I heard you open for Barbara and Larry and open for me. And $300, he said, well, Barbara always pays me $5. She's generous. I thought, no, she's not.
Was his last name Jeremy?
No. That's a different Ron. But I just thought, and you know what? He was fine with that. He said, I have a blast and I love it. But I still think that just seems ridiculous to me. $300
And he's on his own, so he has to put himself up in a hotel or whatever.
Oh no,
they put him up. Okay,
but still, that just and these who knows what these people were getting who were in concert to 80,000, 100, whatever. That was a shocker.
Did you hear what Frank just said?
What did I just say?
I can't believe you didn't comment on what he just said.
Why don't you comment on it?
You said no. They put him up. You said it twice in a row, like the lion in the Wizard of Oz, which is Dan's specialty.
Oh,
go back to the tape. It was an incredible moment.
We don't use
tape. Put him up.
We don't have tape. That's digital recordings now.
Put him up.
See, I mean.
So let me ask Dr. Doug Pernikoff a question. Dr. Doug, when's the last time you had your eyes examined? And I don't mean an eye test. Can you see this line, is this better? I mean a real thorough, the topography of your cornea, look at your retina, the whole eye. When's the last time you had that?
No, I always do it. Probably 30 to 40 days ago.
Oh, good for you.
Well, I'm a diabetic, so I have to
check you know, that's right. Diabetics do have to check on that and tell them why. What do you run the risk of?
Well, a number of conditions, but the biggest thing is that you get retinal changes. Your blood supplies change to the eye structures, and it causes blindness.
So are you okay? Are you doing okay?
Did they say
you're doing okay?
Yeah, I'm actually managing.
All right. So, now, Dr. Jason Brenton is not a retinal specialist. He certainly knows about it, but his specialty is the cornea and the lens. And I will admit that I was well into being middle-aged before I even realized we had a lens, like a contact lens under your cornea that is God-given. You're born with a lens and a cornea and an iris and a retina and all that stuff. But I didn't understand that or really even know it. And then when I found out more about it, I realized that sometimes you can replace the lenses without waiting till you need cataract surgery, and it can change your entire life. That procedure can allow you, in many cases, as it did me, to no longer have to wear glasses. I wear them to read. That's a different issue. So Dr. Brinton does that surgery. He also does LASIK, and he does all of the six alternatives to the LASIK that most of you know about. And the reason I want to make that clear is that doctors, ophthalmologists who just perform the, what I call just the basic run-of-the-mill LASIK, most of them don't do the alternatives. They're not trained for it. They don't have the equipment for it. Dr. Brinton does. And the good news that goes with that is this. You may have been told you're not a candidate for LASIK, yet you may very well be a good candidate for LASIK. You were just told that by somebody who didn't offer the alternatives. So Dr. Brinton does. Jason Brinton is a tremendous ophthalmologist. I have a policy of not, in all these years, going on the air and talking about or promoting pretty much anything that's medical unless I have a personal experience and past with the particular physician. I've never done that. I have refused to speak for doctors when I don't know anything about them. I don't need what it is that they do, so I can't, you know, firsthand do a testimonial. In this case, I can, because by the time I went to see Dr. Brinton, I knew more about him than I did some people in my family, because I read everything I could about him. I had been told about him through a friend in Overland Park, Kansas, when he was there, and by the time she told me what she told me, and I went and I read about him, I thought, man, this guy is something special, and he is. And I went in, and when he said to me, I can replace your lenses and put a prescription, the lens that you're born with has no prescription. It's just clear. It's clear. It doesn't have a prescription. He said, I can replace that with a man-made lens, and it'll actually have strength. It'll have a prescription, and it'll clear your vision up, and you more than likely you won't need any glasses except for reading. Nobody had ever told me that was possible. Never. I've seen 16 ophthalmologists in my life for all kinds of things. Not one of them had ever said to me, by the way, how'd you like to throw your glasses away and not have to mess with that every day? Never. And I know why. They didn't do that. They didn't know how to do it. Or they just flat out, they could have sent me somewhere else and said, but they didn't. He's the guy who did. So I had it done. I went back, I don't know, a month later or whatever, had the other eye done. And since those procedures, no glasses, reading only. My goodness, it's like a miracle. Now, what I've never really understood about insurance companies is they don't seem to think that seeing and hearing is that big a deal. They'll cover you for hip surgery and knee surgery, but you need hearing aids? Forget it. No insurance coverage in most cases. You need LASIK? You'd like to get rid of glasses? No, they don't cover that either. They consider that to be elective. I don't think seeing and hearing is an elective thing. I think it's every bit as important as being able to walk around or bend your elbow or your knee or whatever. So my point is this, probably not going to be covered. There are some exceptions. Mine wasn't. But I took advantage of the 2-year zero interest plan they have, and I made 24 payments and paid it out over time like that, and it didn't sting as badly. Had it cost 3 times as much, and I'd had to make payments for 6 years, I would have still done it. It's that life-changing. So my invitation to you is simply this. Make an appointment at Brinton Vision. be prepared to shell out a mere $120 for a 90-minute thorough ocular analysis. They will put a couple of drops in your eye to give you a pressure test. Nothing hurts. There's nothing they're going to do that hurts. People are weird about their eyes. Guy we used to work with, Dan, I tried to talk to him one time about something I had done. It was an eye procedure, and he stopped me mid-sentence. Oh. He said, if you keep this up, yeah, I may pass out. He said, I can't stand to think about, look at, or hear about anybody touching somebody's eye. It was just, he was that squeamish about it. So nothing they're going to do hurts at all. And you're going to be blown away. You're going to have testing done you've never had done before. And then they're going to talk with you about what your options are. Do this. Do this not for me. Do it for you. Brinton Vision, B-R-I-N-T-O-N, 314-375-2020. The Brinton Vision offices are in Creve Coeur, North New Ballas Road. And the website, again, Brinton, B-R-I-N-T-O-N, BrintonVision.com. Ah, yes, it's Wednesday. And I love it. I love it that you are able now to come in the studio.
Everybody, I enjoy it this way.
I think it's just so much better, and yeah, it opens up a phone line, because when you're on the phone, you tie up a line, and that line is open now. We had a caller on hold, but I talked too long, so we lost him. So the lines are open. Here are the numbers again. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Dr. Doug is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. And you can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. So if you have a pet, you're thinking about getting a pet, this is your guy. He's the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. He's your pet's best friend. Ladies and gentlemen, for the umpteenth hundredth time since we started this, my goodness, 15, 16 years ago, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, 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 how is everybody today?
We're doing fantastic, Doctor. How are you doing?
I am AM in the PM. Can I say for a moment?
Oh. You can say anything you want.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, in veterinary medicine too, many of you may know, but we have a number of board-certified veterinary ophthalmologists in town, one down the sidewalk from the station, and it's the same deal. They offer science and technology and treatment that, you know, 10 years ago was in its infancy, and now, you know, here it is as part of the standard care for animals.
This is not a joke. There are contact lenses for dogs.
Absolutely.
Did you guys know that? Limey, did you know that?
I had no idea that kind of technology existed for dogs.
It sounds like a joke,
yeah,
but it's not. It's not a joke. It's true.
I walked into a clinic a couple of years ago, and the guy was into dentistry.
Did they stay on, the contact lenses?
Yeah, yeah.
Forever? You don't have to. Well,
you probably
have
to
take them off and clean them.
I haven't managed them, but I imagine they have to manage them.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
But I walked into this one clinic, and the guy goes, hey, you want to see something funny? So we went in the back, in the cages, there's a dog with braces on the top and bottom.
Wow.
And I said, are you serious? He goes, there's something for everybody.
Are you serious?
He said he was serious.
I saw a woman. I couldn't believe this store let her do this. I saw a woman take a dog into Deerberg's one time to the deli department and let the dog look and like put the dog's face up to the glass, and when it got like, you know, kind of squealed a little or whatever, started moving, jerking. She said, "Yeah, give me a pound of that."
Yeah, I take my wife in and do the same thing.
Oh my God! See, I would have said,
"Wow, man."
Jeez. Now I'm guessing that dog had to be a support dog. I don't think you just take anybody can take their dogs in the grocery store.
It was in her purse. It was so small it fit in her purse.
Then she probably had it hidden. Then.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the deli clerk was standing right there.
What do we know?
My point is, she let the dog decide what meat they were going to eat that week, and she thought that the dog like could recognize the different meats. You think the dog?
Oh,
could?
Let me tell you something. That some people,
of course,
pet owners are nuts, and they think, no, I'm serious, and I'm not accusing everybody being that way. But when you let your dog pick out what you're going to eat in your family by looking at the come on, or braces on your dog's teeth, and Dr. Doug, that probably, I'm guessing cosmetic, but I guess there could have been a condition where the dog needed braces, and it wasn't cosmetic. But it wouldn't surprise me if there's somebody out there who doesn't like the look of the dog. My dog's teeth could be straighter. Who would put braces on a dog for cosmetic reasons? That person is out there.
Well, you're right. There's somebody that wants to do everything. And the more familiar they are with it in terms of how it affects them as humans, the more accommodating, more willing they are to try it for their pet.
And I know more than one woman who, if her dog doesn't like a guy that she goes out with, she'll break up with the guy because of it. Mm-hmm. Like if she senses that the dog doesn't like the guy, she'll dump him.
Why, bro?
Let me tell you though, I believe in. I do believe dogs. I'm gonna tell a quick story, please. Tom, Keith, Chris, everybody holding, just give me 1 minute to tell this story. We had a big dog at one time. It was Dr. Doug, you remember the dog Aspen. Aspen
was like
a 75, 80-pound dog. Aspen was a fantastic dog and a great guard dog and a great judge of people. And that dog could not stand my mother. My mother was, I don't want to sound like a jerk here, but she wasn't likable once you really knew who she was. And when she would come stay with us, she would get up in the middle of the night, and we would hear somebody walking upstairs, and we realized she's snooping. She'd get up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, looking at medicine cabinets, drawers, my wife's stuff, where she was a snoop. And that dog cornered her one night, and I mean, backed her into the corner, and then, and we wake up, and there's the dog, and now she's busted. In the bathroom, medicine cabinet open, she's in there snooping around. And that dog never, ever, ever liked her. That dog, we had to separate him, put the dog in the basement if my mother was coming. The dog liked pretty much everybody else. But my point is, that dog could sense something about her.
Right.
And I do believe, look, if a dog can sniff cancer, and that's true, that there are those who can, who knows what they're capable of doing. Let me jump to the phones here, because we do have full lines, and that's good. Tom is first. Tom, thank you for waiting and letting me tell that story about my favorite dog I ever had, Aspen. Welcome to 590. The fans say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, doctor. This is Tom.
Hello, Tom.
My wife and I are older, and we've had dogs all our lives, so we're looking at getting a new dog. We haven't had one for a while. And looking at Labradoodles and the other doodles, you know, the small ones.
Uh-huh.
And there's all kinds of them out there, but they usually cost $1,500 or $2,000.
Yep.
So I have a two-part question.
Yes, sir.
One is, what do you think of those hybrids? And the second part is, do you think they should cost that much? Is it just a demand thing?
Well, I certainly... Yeah, I can't talk to the economics. It's whatever the market will bear, right? So if people are willing to pay for it, the price is going to go up. Does it make sense? You can probably go and...
I can hear that coming.
Sorry.
Doctor, come on, light candle.
You can probably search out and put a little time into it and find a rescue dog, a mix, that looks like one of these high-profile mixes that they're selling for so much money, and make a home for it. So I don't have anything against the mixes. I just, I'm like you. It's kind of hard to rationalize that we're paying so much money for essentially what is a mutt. Now, they're beautiful, and if they're some of them, like the Labradoodles or mixes, are sweet as can be.
Oh, you need to clear your throat again?
there you go. Oh. So I would tell you that you can either go after one. That's fine. There's no wrong to it. If you want something, you have to decide, do you want something small, do you want something that's going to be a lap dog, something you're going
to
take outside.
You also
have
to deal with the shedding and the hypoallergenic thing, too.
Right, and then winter's coming along, so if you're going to get one now, and you have to go through the training process, that might be an inconvenience to be outside when you don't want to be. So those are all things to think about, and pricing really is a relative thing. You just have to decide. I never thought I would spend money on dogs either, and then I found the French Bulldog breed. And I've paid more in dogs than I ever imagined I would, but I also get the return of very special dogs in my mind. So it's a very personal preference. You have to decide.
Okay, right. Tom.
Okay. They're good dogs, right?
And Tom, for what it's worth, my son and his wife have a six-year-old, and they got a few months ago an Australian Labradoodle, and it cost a lot of money. But I'm going to tell you something. That dog doesn't shed one hair. That dog is as intelligent as any dog I've ever seen. It's a beautiful dog. Is it worth what they paid? Again, that depends on your pocketbook. But I think sometimes with the right breeder and a pure... To me, a lot of it is just hogwash, but in some cases, and Doc, I think you'd agree, your money's well spent, like with your bulldogs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it forms the, gives you the relationship you want, how do you measure that?
And Tom, talk to your wife about that shedding thing, too, because the dog I mentioned that was my favorite dog ever, Aspen, was a shedder. We had hair, dog hairs everywhere. Anybody that came up walked out of the house with dog hairs all over their clothes. You didn't want to wear black. We're constantly vacuuming up hair balls in the corner, dust balls, whatever. So that's something to consider, too, is the whole shedding thing, because some of the dogs that I consider to be my favorite dogs are heavy shedders.
Yeah. Aspen came from our rescue, too.
I'm definitely in favor of that. We've had dogs all our life, and most of them shed like crazy. So, yes, yeah. We don't want one that sheds a lot. So
that's one of the advantages in one of these Labradoodles. No shedding, not at all, and it's incredible. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
There goes Tom. Bye-bye. Tom just opened the line, 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Keith, you've been very patient. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
What's going on, Dr. Doug?
Hey, how are you, Keith?
I'm good, man. Hey, I got a dog. I can tell he's getting cataracts. I look in his eyes, they're getting cloudy. He can still see, you know, rather well. He's very healthy. My question is, I'm sure there's cataract surgery for dogs.
Yes.
And to give me an estimate maybe on cost. And then is there also maybe some kind of eye drops that can prolong the inevitable for him going blind? Or should I just say, you know what, he needs surgery?
Yeah. Now, so can I take a stab at this?
You sure can.
I don't think there is a drop that clears up the cloudiness from cataracts. Sure. I don't.
You're right.
And I wasn't aware. Well, why not? If they do contact lenses, why not cataract surgery? And I'm guessing that it's the success rate is pretty good because you're taking a cloudy lens out, putting a clear one in it, and it changed that dog's life. You can take it from there.
Yeah, so I'm going to guess on the pricing. I would guess, depending on where you go, it could be anywhere close to $1,000 to $1,200 per eye, and they usually don't have to do them at the same time. So what happens with a cataract is that the lens we were talking about before is kind of a protein, lipoprotein kind of structure, and with time or with a disease like diabetes, it can change the opacity of that structure. So what was once like a fried egg becomes now an opaque, complete fried egg, a raw egg to a fried egg. That's kind of what's happening in the protein of the lens. So they can't see literally, and there's any degree of those, but when they're ready to be removed surgically, they usually have all kinds of lines and spindles through them, and they look really kind of consolidated. And your doctor would tell you, yeah, now it's very time to do it. And there is no drop that I know of that would correct that. So I think...
Yeah, the other question for that kind of money is Keith, how old is the dog?
Dog's 10. He's a Yorkie poo. He's a great dog. They usually live to be about 18 to 20. Sick in his life. And I'm just worried about him jumping off the couch or something, not seeing right, or falling down steps. And now he's got bad legs and bad eyes, you know. And
sure.
That's not that expensive.
Right. It's all relative, again, pricing. But
it's a family member, for goodness
sake. Yeah, it's a family member, and you want to give him the rest of his life with some quality. Also understand that if the dog stays in a stable setting, physical setting, it's very typical that even if they're getting a little bit of light, they can distinguish dark and light so they don't bump into things. And even with total blindness, some animals seem to act like they're not blind because they're so familiar with their sight. And if they've been losing it over time, they become less and less dependent on it and more dependent on their memory. It's like muscle memory. So
but if he's got the money and this dog's got another maybe 10 years to live,
I go for it.
Yeah. I'm with Keith. If you got the money and you can afford it, it's like part of the family. Make his life better.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much.
All right, Keith, thank you. And thank you for listening. We appreciate it. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Christopher, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug. Hello, Chris.
Frank Yang.
Christopher.
I am AM and the PM. Yes.
You're doing fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyhow, my daughter bought home.
No, he said anyhow. He didn't say anyway.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Chris.
Hold on. Hold on, everybody. Edit that out. He didn't deserve that. He said
radio edit.
Always looking out for the listeners, Christopher. Go ahead.
God bless. As I was just saying, my daughter brought home a rescue animal, the third one, in, I guess, about the past 14 years. A healthy beast, I'd say extra, extra large size, multi-breed dog. I mean, in wonderful health. The issue she's having currently is something she described as happy tail, where the tip of the tail continues to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crated for, he's crated for, I'd say, 10 hours at a time while both her and her spouse are at work. So, you know, she's trying to treat it correctly, but with him being, I'd say, still a younger dog, he wants to really aggressively go and gnaw at that tail. And, you know, the bleeding seems to be getting a lot worse. And
gotcha.
The wound, I just don't know how to control it correctly.
It's not my place to judge what people do, but, Doc, a dog in a crate 10 hours a day every day, that seems like a lot to me.
It's we were talking about this the other day with somebody, a friend of mine, but, yeah, it's kind of a hard subject to discuss. Number one, if an animal's born and raised into a crate, not that we like it or appreciate it, it's like kind of familiar. It's they don't know, you know, that that's there's another way. So
yeah, but they have to hold everything.
No, no, I don't disagree with you. I think it's not optimum. Not optimum. You know, most people, if you sleep all night, your dog goes to bed at 8 or 9, wakes up at 6. What's that? That's 3 and 6. It's about 9 or 10 hours. So they can do it. It's, again, not anyone's preference. But in comment to what you were talking about, number one, I appreciate that you have a rescue. And the happy tail situation is really common. Every vet has to deal with it. It's a pain in the tush. But basically what happens is they've created a wound, and either they're chewing on it, hitting it, whatever. It's very difficult to get it to heal. So, and it depends on the extreme nature of the condition right then. If it's really infected and aggravated and it's just a bunch of raw tissue, there have been cases where we've actually gone and we've done a minor amputation and correction of that tail to make a chronic old wound into a fresh new wound. And it stimulates the body to want to heal things quicker. But on top of that, more importantly, is how you manage them. And there's all kinds of clever ways to build kind of a protective top. So whether it's a bandage, or some people will take a syringe casing and tape it over there, so now you have a plastic protection. So that's.
But I'm guessing then you have to worry about the dog chewing it off, no matter what it is.
Yeah, and well, then you can also do, you know, a collar. So you have to often, like, I agree with you, Frank, you have to often put together a number of strategies to get some control and give that tail a good 10 to 14 days to get a good solid heal. Because anything under that, it's just going to continue to exacerbate, and that's not a nasty word, the condition. Okay?
We got it. Appreciate
hey, Chris.
All your help, and again, continue all the good luck. Appreciate
thank
it
you.
So much.
Thank you. Thank you, Christopher. What good luck is he talking about? Have we had good luck?
I don't know.
Have we had any good luck?
I found a dollar the other day. I think that's pretty good luck.
I was missing that dollar the day I left.
How did Christopher know about that, I wonder? Maybe he's like a clairvoyant. There is one line open, 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Bruce, welcome aboard. Welcome to the Big 590. It's not the Big 590. It's 590 The Fan. I almost slipped up and said the old frequency, but I didn't.
You almost got uninvited from the owner's
party. It's okay. I get where you were coming from.
Didn't, 590. But I caught it.
Is a big number. I get it.
I caught it. It's a bigger number than the other one, actually.
10 laps around the station.
So, Bruce, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to your pet's best friend, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hello, Bruce. You sound tired.
Well, I just, I'm off work for the rest of the day, so I am a bit tired. But anyway, I'm a PM office.
Oh, he did it. He's an offense. That's the first offense right there.
See, only because I was tired, or I wouldn't have done that, see. Well, but anyway, I've got a rescue dog. I've got
that's two.
Three rescue dogs. And one of them is a 10-year-old Corgi Basset Hound Beagle mix. And he's a wonderful dog, but he recently has developed some fatty tumors on his chest area. And I've had problems with fatty tumors on other dogs through the years, and I'm wondering, is it something in the diet? I've been feeding him dry dog food, you know, nothing expensive. Or is it the fact that at night when I have milk and cookies, I'll let him drink a little milk when I'm done with my cup, you know? Or what causes those? And how,
you know,
do they need to worry about them or what?
No, they're typically they're benign, they're harmless. Unless they get so large that they're kind of impairing the animal's ability to move.
Yeah.
So, and those, they can be taken out. So the problem is, if you just take them out, just to be taking them out, then 2 weeks later you may have another one pop up. I think they're probably more genetically driven than anything else. Now, I think I've read something in the past, I have to think about this, that in some cases of low thyroid, there may be a higher incidence of those. But either way, they're very, very benign, harmless. So I don't worry about it now.
The other risk you run is you take it out and it's benign. It could come back as a B10 or B11.
Oh,
that's a risk. That's a risk you take.
Well, the risk would be anesthesia and post-operative infection would be the two risks.
Yeah.
And then the other final risk, if you haven't had your vet feel those and check those out, you know, it could be something more than just a fatty tumor. So,
people have those benign tumors, and they're sometimes really, but they're absolutely, from what I understand, harmless. But when you see them, you think, oh my goodness, you need to have surgery. No, they don't.
Yeah.
Well, now, my vet told me too that you should feel them, and if they move around, they're usually okay. But if they become like they're attached to something or harder, then it's something to be concerned about. Maybe have tested.
Well, that's just one indication, but I've seen a lot of fatty tumors that are locked under a thin sheet of muscle. And they're fixed and rigid. But, you know, it is anything that's moving around pretty easily, you tend to think is going to be okay. Not always the case.
Yeah. Well, we had an experience with one of those big ones, too. We had an 18-year-old Labrador Chow mix, and she had one that almost looked like a football behind her leg.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where, at that age, you know, and the risk of surgery and all, we decided it was time to put her down, you know. Yeah. And she got to where she couldn't get up off the ground or the floor to go outside. And so I told my boys, I said, we'll know when the time comes, you know.
Yeah.
And
when you were putting her down, what did you say? You're worthless. You're no good. Is that how you put her down?
No, don't do that at all.
See what I did there? Play, cool. It's called play on.
Not cool. That was not a misdemeanor.
All right. Well, thanks for the information, Dr. Doug.
Appreciate okay, get some rest.
Thank you. Thank you. Right, thank you, Bruce. Here we go. I'm not giving the numbers out again. We might have time to get three people in because we do have one line open. 855-282-8255-314-821-0590. Very quickly, this is a true story. My wife used to have a very good friend. They haven't, you know how you just kind of lose touch. So it's been many, many years ago. But I remember it was on a speakerphone, and I walked in and heard her talking to my wife about her breasts and how she had some fibrous tumors. And I remember getting so horned up listening to her talk about her fibrous tumors and feeling of her boobs. But I was a younger man then, and everything horned me up. If you said, hey, I'm going to the grocery store, I mean, it didn't take anything. Let's go to Brad. Brad, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Brad. How are you?
I'm very well. I had a quick question for you regarding my, she's a 4-year-old German Shepherd mix that we rescued as a puppy. And for the first year we had her, we were feeding her Purina 1 per the vet's orders, or the vet's, I guess, that's her request. And then after the first year, we switched her to a grain-free food that she's been on ever since. And I know there's a lot of stuff popping up recently about, I guess, different tests and the grain-free foods versus non-grain-free diets. And I'm curious, what do you think, if there's any reason for her to eat grain-free, if she's never had any prior health problems or anything like that to be concerned about? And then also what you thought about CBD for anxiety in dogs.
Okay. Let me do the CBD because we did last week, too, I think. You know, it's a product that's going to end up in our industry. And right now, as we said last time, people are using it. It's available in a lot of different states, but it's not been approved in any formal way. And I don't think you're going to get any veterinarians who are going to formally encourage you to use it just because they don't want to lose their license. So you'll have to play with it on your own, do your own homework. And if you get testimonial, it'll probably be from some blog site or from some kind of community group. And then you'll have to decide, okay?
And the truth is, more probably, CBD in a small dose wouldn't hurt the animal, but no vet is going to endorse it.
Right, exactly. So, and then you asked about, let's see, that was the, what was it, the fatty tumor?
Grain-free diabetes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Non-grain-free.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, again, it's like for many, many, many years, we developed dog foods that were based on grains because it was more efficient, less expensive to manufacture, would last on the shelves longer, and apparently had enough nutrient that they were okay. And then over time, we learned that it seemed like we were developing cases of irritable bowel disease, kind of like Crohn's or colitis in humans. And we started to tell people maybe we shouldn't be using these. So I think a lot has to do with the individual animal, its own genetics, and the kind of food experience it's had. And you've only got a four-year-old, right? And we don't know age six you're not going to have developed some of these GI syndromes that are going to demand that you're on a grain-free with other kind of management support. So it's kind of like, if it's not a problem till it's a problem, how many dogs did we raise on just good old Purina and things like that and never saw a problem? How many dogs have we raised on junk and never see a problem? So again, I think there is an issue with too much grain in your diet, not enough of the natural fats and proteins that, you know, carnivores like dogs were evolved to eat. So it's kind of a test and try. Work with your veterinarian to decide the diet that's going to be okay for you, and then go with that. And if you see a problem, you react to it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate the call. And now we move. Let me check my screen, make sure I don't mess this up. Yeah, I'm not giving numbers out again because we've got more probably calls than we have time to get to. But let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug, and I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you, Steve. And we have exactly like 2 minutes to run with it.
Go for it.
Quick. First thing I wanted to tell Dan, ASC is Automotive Service Excellence. Dr. Doug.
Yes.
Are pet health insurance policies any good? You have people come in and use them with you?
Yes. So the very first one actually was involved with was out of California. It was called Veterinary Pet Insurance. It's now owned and managed by a human company. I forgot which one it was, but one of the human insurance companies. So it really depends, again, on your situation. Do you have a young dog? Do you have an older dog? You know, the young dog has a lot of preventative and basic care requirements. The old dog has a lot of medical issue requirements. So when you shop these, sometimes the Humane Society has them, certain programs around the country have them, or other private companies. Talk to your veterinarian about the options that are there, and then you want to rule out the issues you have based on the features of your dog, the age, the signalment, all that kind of good age, the sex, and where the condition of the dog is. And, yeah, they can be very useful, very useful.
Okay, thanks for the info.
Okay.
All right. Now, thank you, Brad. I'm not going to quit here. I'm going to see if we can help Steve in about 1 minute. Steve, I'll
that
cut
was
this short.
Steve. We need Sally.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sally. Sally, say hi to Dr. Doug. Take this last minute we have and see if we can do something for you.
Hi, Sally.
Hi, Dr. Doug. It's Sally.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I was wanting to know, do most Labradoodles get cancer?
That's a question that's kind of an unanswerable question. So I would say that they are just as likely to get a cancer as any other breed and not specific to them, okay?
But not more likely.
Yeah, not more likely, but within a particular line of the Labrador or the Poodle aspect, they certainly could be carrying genes that would predispose them to a cancer, but that would be more along a directed genetic line, right?
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Okay.
All right, that's what I needed.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. So the answer basically is they're not any more likely. I mean,
not really. As a general, right.
Okay. Well,
generally speaking,
as the singers always say, after people ask for the problem solvers, you've done it again.
Wonderful.
We appreciate it. I hope you can come in again next Wednesday.
I sure can, and I love it. Thank you very much.
We look
much.
Forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Courtesy of Window World. If you like his segment, then you can show your appreciation by letting Window World know you like it and then making sure you tell them you're aiming the PM. Remember, it's the largest selling replacement window in the country. And you can find out a whole lot more at windowworldstlouis.com. What do you know? Playhouse time after the news because it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
The 590 The Fan app. Download it today in your app store. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Experts are laying out the legal case for impeaching President Trump. Testifying in the House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearing, Harvard Law professor Noah Feldman characterized Trump's conduct as an abuse of power. Democrats say Trump abused his office by pressing Ukraine to investigate his political rivals. Rudy Giuliani is reportedly looking for information on the Democrats' impeachment effort in Ukraine. The New York Times reports that the president's personal